Joining us now, you can see him on X and on YouTube as we live stream this bad boy here. He is Joe Arrigo from the Joe Arrigo Podcast. Follow him on X at Joe Arrigo _. Joe, I saw you posting last night. You're comparing the Micah Parsons deal to this fiasco that's came about with Max Crosby now not becoming a Baltimore Raven and getting shipped back to the Raiders. Go ahead, expand on that if you could, please.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Sparky, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it, buddy. You know, it's different because the way the Packers handle business is really should be a case study for the entire NFL. They don't promote what they're going to do. They don't announce anything until it's already done. They go ahead and they just do their business, handle their business. And then once they're done with that, you know, everybody makes their move. We didn't hear Green Bay's name mentioned with Micah Parsons until almost the very end. Yep. There was a lot of speculation. There was a lot of, okay, Green Bay could do this, whatever. You had Ricky the Dog really dropping Green Bay's name first, more than, you know, and credit Ricky for that. But you didn't hear it till the very end when Schefter kind of alluded to it on another radio show or another show. Now, with the Raiders in this situation with the Ravens, it was out there in the public. They announced it on Friday night. You know, Raider Nation got into a they had mixed emotions. That one way, they were really upset about the fact they're losing a guy that means so much to them as a fan base and a leader in the locker room. And then the other hand, they have four first round picks the next 2 years. So they were up and down. And by the time Monday came, they were in a state of euphoria with how everything played out with the new league year. You don't see that with Green Bay. Green Bay keeps it quiet under the vest because they don't want to, first of all, make themselves look stupid. They want to do CYA, and they want to make sure all their I's and T's are dotted and T's are crossed. And that's something that, in this case, didn't happen between the Raiders or the Ravens.
Okay, so John Spytek is the guy running business for the Raiders, GM, Wisconsin native, grew up like 20 minutes from where we're broadcasting the show in Hales Corners. And I would say that everybody up until this point would say he's had an A-plus offseason based on everything that he's done improving that team. The Linderbaum deal still blows my mind as much. You know, $27 million for a center, holy crap. But outside of that, everybody is really excited. Plus, they have number one pick. Everybody assumes they're going to take Mendoza at quarterback, and they've been praised quite a bit. Now, all of a sudden, here comes Crosby falling into your lap. Before we get to what are the Raiders going to do, let's talk about Eric DaCosta over there running the Baltimore Ravens, because people were bringing up the Jair Alexander deal. As the Packers moved off Jair Alexander to him, he then tried to move off Jair Alexander as well and traded Alexander, wasn't up front on the trade, and then Alexander, like 10 days later, up and retired because of his injuries. So people were side-eyeing DaCosta on that one. And now this situation where clearly he was negotiating on the side for Hendrickson, for Trey Hendrickson, got that deal done, and then backed out on this one and blamed it on a failed physical, when really at the end of the day, everybody that was trading for Max Crosby knew what they were getting themselves into at the end of the day, Joe.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know who had a worse night, Eric DaCosta or DeRosa, the WBC.
Oh, DeRosa had a pretty bad night. Yeah.
You know, but in this case with DaCosta, they pulled the wool out from underneath everybody, and everybody in the league knows it at this point. They know that they look at what the Raiders did by signing Linderbaum, and yes, they may have overpaid, but you overpay because he's arguably the best center in the league.
For sure.
And he doesn't, and now Mendoza, if he is the pick, which he's going to be, he won't have to worry about making line calls because now you'll have Linderbaum doing it. So you overpay a little bit. Then you give up two first-round picks. So essentially, you get Max Crosby for two first-round picks and the starting center that just left you to go to the team that you got Max Crosby from. You know, it's not really cool. And there, you remember the movie Back to the Future where Doc tells Marty, hey, don't change anything because it could change the whole future and everything going on. That potentially could have happened with the Ravens doing this with this trade. They could have very easily have backed out of it. And then Dallas backs out of the Green Bay trade with Rashawn Gary.
Yep.
Now there's $19 million that the Packers have to figure out a way to get rid of. And, you know, now they won't have the fourth round pick. Now they just got to release him. There could be some other moves that don't get made. Maybe Linderbaum ends up staying in Baltimore. I mean, the ripple effects just going to reverberate throughout the entire NFL. And it's a bad move. And, you know, credit Tom Pelissero for the work that he did yesterday on the insiders. He just ripped them, as he should have. And, you know, they probably had to walk it back a little bit today. But there's a lot of CYA with, oh, well, Trey Hendrickson was going to play with Max Crosby. And, you know, that was the intent. No, it wasn't. The intent was for Max to be the guy there and Trey probably to go to Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, this is the thing with this Crosby situation, which is 2-1s probably aren't happening now, more than likely. So now, what do the Raiders hope to get out of this? I mean, does it even matter what the compensation is? Is it more just about getting rid of the money? And if you only get a first-round pick, or if you get a second and a third or something like that, even though it's substantially less, is it more about just getting rid of that money now?
Well, would you get rid of them to begin with? Because you have the money to keep them. They still have almost $40 million in cap space with Max Crosby on the roster. Your defense is substantially better with him on your roster. You know what type of player he is. You know what he's going to bring on the field and within the locker room. And he's a guy that the fan base, you know, genuinely loves. And it could be the universe's way of saying, don't make this trade. And I think that's the way that Max Crosby's looking at it. From the Raiders standpoint, I think if someone came and gave them an offer that is a legitimate offer, I mean, they're not going to get the 2-1s, but let's say someone was to give them a 1 and a pick next year, let's say a day 2 pick, that's something you would probably consider. But they have until, I believe, 3 p.m. out here in the Pacific Standard Time on the West Coast to make some type of move with him. Otherwise, $30 million is guaranteed.
It's crazy. Joe Riegel podcast. He's based out there in Las Vegas, does a ton of Packer stuff. We've had him on prior when they were trying to figure out what D coordinator was going to be the next D coordinator for the Green Bay Packers after Halfley got the job for Miami. He had just a great piece breaking all down all the different candidates. They end up going with Jonathan Gannon at the end of the day. Since then, you've wrote numerous pieces on the Packers as well, and I get them all sent to my inbox, which is great, so I get to read all of that stuff, Joe. And speaking of the Packers right now, as we sit here today, and they get Sky Moore last night, which is great. They get St. Juice, the cornerback from the Chargers, yesterday as well. How do you like their offseason as we sit here today?
Don't forget, Jonathan Ford just agreed to sign with them right before I came on as well.
That does nothing for me. I mean, that's nice. Well, they're bringing Ford back, but I mean, come on. I mean, am I supposed
to get
excited?
Big bodies up front.
Like, fine. It's a big body. I'll give you that, technically. Does it tell me, oh, we're going to stop the run, now we got Jonathan Ford? No, that doesn't do it for me.
No, you know, it reminds me, Sparky, a little bit of the Ted Thompson days where, you know, the first day or the first week, there's no movement at all whatsoever. And then the bargains start coming in once the prices come down and people stop spending crazy money. Look, the same juice, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, for basically $5 million a year, the guy didn't miss a tackle last year. Good length at 6'3", fits what the system is. That's a good one. And with Sky Moore, as long as he's not a receiver, I'm fine with it.
Yes.
I mean, he's not a great receiver. And this shows me that they're taking special teams a little more seriously, something they haven't done in a very long time. And he's a good returner. He's one of the better returners in the NFL. So I give him credit for that. I would like to see them go out and maybe a Javon Hargrave that's getting released in a few minutes or somebody like that. Go get a guy like that, another big guy up front, and then, you know, see what's out there on the again, another corner maybe just for some depth. But I kind of think that they're going to probably go corner early in the draft, as early as they can. You know, this is going to be a draft or an offseason where it's going to be splashy. Next offseason might. I mean, they're going to have nearly $100 million in cap space. With picks and Xavier McKinney, he's probably going to get a third deal with them because if you count this deal. So, I mean, this is one of those where as much talent as they lost, they really didn't lose talent. I mean, Quay, you can make the argument, you know, adding Franklin is an upgrade because he brings a different mentality. He's a little more, he's better in coverage than Quay. I think half the league is better in coverage than Quay was. But,
and Zaire Franklin's horrible in coverage.
I mean, but yeah, exactly. But he's better than Quay Walker. And you've seen that with, you know, how the Bears picked on him. So, I mean, for me, I like what they've done so far. I mean, I didn't expect a lot this offseason anyway. Get Kraft, Watson, and Wyatt re-signed to new deals, which I think is going to happen in that order. and then, you know, going to next year ready to rock.
What about the edge position here? I mean, they bring back Brandon Cox Jr. today as well. So now you got Sorrell, Van Ness, Cox, guys all fighting to get on the field to be opposite of Micah Parsons. How much of a priority does that become for you? Because if you end up getting a really good edge opposite of Parsons, then all of a sudden the cornerback position doesn't look as bad. Like I've been talking about, first half of last year, nobody was talking about Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine because Rashawn Gary was playing like a beast. Micah Parsons was getting to the quarterback. Quarterbacks didn't have time, so there was no big deal. Rashawn Gary then disappears into thin air. Micah Parsons gets hurt, and now you realize how bad your corners are.
Yeah, I think that is a priority. I think that's another one in the draft. I mean, it's a good edge draft. But look, Sorrell is a guy I liked him come out of Texas last year to get him where they got him. And then just, you know, albeit it was that Minnesota game end of the year, he flashed enough for me to kind of say, okay, you may have something right here. And he could be the guy. I mean, he's already training with Parsons. You know, they have numerous videos this offseason working out together, and that's a good thing. So, I mean, and I think, too, there may be some addition by subtraction in that edge room as well. I mean, God bless Rashawn Gary for what he did, but – to not have a sack in your last, 10 games after, you know, starting off as quick as you did and having Micah Parsons on the other side and then the lack of effort, you know, that was seen for a guy that wore a C on his chest, that was disheartening if you're a Packer fan. And it was disheartening for me as a fan. We're watching him. It's like, I expected more out of him. You're a first-round pick. You've been there 7 years. You never had 10 sacks in the season, but yet you're making top 12 money in the NFL. That's a problem for me. So maybe it's addition by subtraction. I mean, some people can say Mike is taking some shots on him on social media, some subliminal shots.
Might have. No, he is. That would listen, I'll say this much, and we didn't get into it yesterday, but Micah on Twitter the last couple of days has been outstanding. Like, I had no idea he was a chess player. I had no idea that he's a competitive chess player, and he's relatively good at it. And going over that. So that was cool. Then, without saying Rashawn Gary's name, he gets into talking about what makes a great pass rusher and defensive end and so forth. And obviously, Packer fans are like, and that's about Gary. And that's about Gary. And that's about Gary. I don't know what the relationship was like, but it definitely feels like he's been talking about Rashawn Gary since they let Rashawn Gary go.
Well, I mean, you could say that, you know, he came into the room in a room that was Rashawn Gary's room, yep, as being the alpha, and he came in and was the bigger alpha and took over the room, and there may have been some hurt feelings there. I mean, I don't know. That's just me speculating. But at the end of the day, look, Micah Parsons, and this goes even back to the Max Crosby deal. You got Parsons and Garrett, and then there's a decrease, there's a line, and you got Will Anderson and Burns and Hutchinson, and then you could throw Crosby and a few other guys, Benito, some guys into there. You got – There's difference. Crosby and Garrett are just on a different level. And when you have them on your team and in your locker room, you know, credit Green Bay, they're going for it. I mean, I give Goody a lot of credit for this. You know, there might not be splashy signings this offseason, but the guys he's getting are guys that are fitting, and he's kind of changing the mold of the team with the attitude. There's going to be a grit. There's going to be a toughness. There's going to be a FU-type attitude on that defense. That kind of starts with Micah Parsons, and you see some of the guys that they have. Keyshawn Nixon, Keyshawn is the same way. I know it rubs some fans the wrong way, but, you know, you can't please everybody. But, you know, there's still that don't mess with me attitude that Micah has, that Keyshawn has, that I think the rest of the defense is going to start to have. And I think it's be a welcome sign for Green Bay fans.
Joe Rego podcast. Check him out on Substack as well on X at @JoeRego_. Joe, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one. Thank you.